If you are interested in starting your own podcast, we use Buzzsprout because it is simple and easy to use. Buzzsprout can get your show listed on every major platform while giving you the resources for a great podcast website, audio players that can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening to your podcast, and tools to promote your episodes. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and that is why over 100,000 podcasters are already subscribed to Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in our episode descriptions lets Buzzsprout know that we sent you. So in return, you will receive a $20 Amazon gift card from Buzzsprout while signing up for a paid plan. Most importantly, every subscription through our link is always appreciated and helps support our show so we can continue delivering the quality content that you guys listen to. That being said, back to the show.
Hello and welcome to Comic Book Junkies. I'm Andrew.
This is Joe.
And this time we're coming at you with one of our recap of our story reviews. This time we read Justice by Jim Kruger, Doug Braithwaite, and Alex Ross. It's a 12-issue series done in the early 2000s, you know, after Kingdom Come, Marvels, you know, all that classic stuff, which we've read. So if you haven't read those yourself or you haven't heard those episodes, you can go back and listen to those if you'd like. Similar vibe there. But this was a long one. So we'll see.
That's what she said.
Exactly how. Yeah, not to me, but
oh, burger.
Oh, we're good. But anywho, hopefully we don't disappoint like she is. But the point is, this is going to be a long one, longer episode, as much as it can be. There's a lot packed into these 12 issues, so we'll see exactly how deep we get into each issue. But other than that, what's up, Joe, before we get into it?
Great. Feeling great. Rejuvenated. I had a great weekend with my guys. It was my bachelor party, Burger being my best man. We had all the groomsmen there and had just a really nice weekend. So we're a little behind recording this, but it was well needed.
Absolutely. We were all united like the Justice League. Good thing we didn't have too many villains except some people with front nuts. But
we'll get into that aside. Yeah. Chapter one. This one's like a prelude, chapter essentially, one. Because we see different parts of the world blowing up and the respective superheroes trying to save those cities, but failing. Some villains wake up from this dream, and this is where the actual story begins. It's centered around Aquaman. He's approached by sharks that are looking for his help, and Aquaman leaves his wife and child to see what's going on, to shortly find himself under attack and defeated by Black Manta. Black Manta brings Aquaman to his boss and tells his boss that his dreams aren't getting any easier. But that's when we find out that his boss is Lex Luthor, and Lex Luthor says that they're all having the same nightmares.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, you couldn't have summed up issue one any better. I mean, that's basically the crux of what happens to set up this story here. There's like some small character stuff kind of in between, kind of showing how the stakes are getting set up. Notably, Captain Cold makes like a giant glacier in the desert. Obviously, if you're familiar with Captain Cold, that's beyond his standard capabilities. So we kind of see that there's more going on than just a weird dream. But yeah, I mean, honestly, from there, we head right on into issue two. And from there, we just see that the Riddler is breaking into Wayne Industries with a bunch of goons. He's trying to hack into Batman's computer system with a rich guy's computer system. Do they know they're the same person yet? But you know, they expect to run into Bruce Wayne. They find him on the, you know, security monitor, but then obviously Batman shows up and is, you know, giving chase. And you know, he's kind of all mad at himself. He's like, bro, the Riddler almost figured me out. I definitely got to be better than that, which I love because Dodd's Batman and he is right. There's no way the Riddler should get that close. But you know, at this point, the League finds out that Aquaman is missing, as we saw where he, you know, was investigating the weird black ball like underneath the ocean. He's gone now and everyone's just like, what's going on here? But that's all going on at the same time as Batman trying to figure out Riddler's stuff, because Riddler stole a ton of information out of that. And so Batman's like, I got to handle that before I can help you guys find Aquaman. And we basically find that the Riddler did steal a lot of important stuff. But as I mentioned, Captain Cold, you know, made that glacier. Flash is in an oasis in a desert at this time, too. There's a lot of subplots here. So if I start jumping around and saying, like, this guy's doing that, it's because there's a lot going on to unpack in this book. But there's a lot of subplot because it's such a big roster of characters that are involved, which I do find cool as a little side note there. But the Flash is in an oasis in Oasis in the Desert, which was brought about by Captain Cold, who's starting to look more like a savior to everybody rather than a supervillain. And Poison Ivy, at the same time, she's commanding her plants, the green, to help feed people and do stuff like that. So we're starting to see supervillains start to do like heroic deeds, but you know, you can't take that at face value. But Batman ends up finding the Riddler in a cemetery where his parents were buried, he said. So he actually had to ignore his parents' graves so that he didn't give up his secret identity, which I thought was pretty hard. But you know, he catches the Riddler, and the Riddler starts acting weird when he grabs him, and Batman's like, I'm not even grabbing you that hard. What's going on, Edward? And you know, the Riddler's like, oh, what's going on, guys? And he's like acting like he's in a tizzy. And you know, this will make a lot more sense later in the story, but Batman's like, what the hell's going on with this guy? He's like, I'm not even choking you or punching you as hard as normal, and you're acting like all frail. But Batman handles his business, but you know, nothing's ever that cut and dry in this story. I do like that the Joker's inclusion in this is just literally like a little cameo of him just saying that he's annoyed he doesn't get to take part in the fun, while we see like supervillains get shipped in and out of prison with like Luther's help, and like they just leave the Joker there the whole time, and he's just getting pissed.
It's hilarious. And like every event I've ever read, they always exclude him because they don't know what to expect, which is hilarious. And it's a good role. And he never gets in any serious trouble by himself. You know, he manages to keep doing his thing while the world's ending. But to conclude the issue, we see Aquaman wake up strapped to a table, and there's some mumbo jumbo about toys being broken. But we find out a little bit more about the greater plan, and Brainiac's like 30 seconds away from performing brain surgery on Aquaman.
Yeah, which is crazy. There's a screaming monkey in his face, and Brainiac even compliments him about how smart and sophisticated Aquaman is. But like Aquaman interrupts him, obviously. He's like, you know, you can't do this. What are you trying to do? And Brainiac just ends up getting like pissed off, and he tells him, he's like, bro, I'm just gonna take what I want. And that's just how the issue ends, which is wild that issue two of this story, Aquaman's getting set up for brain surgery by Brainiac. That leads us into issue three. So Martian Manhunter is starting to search for Aquaman, which is genius because not only does he have like the telepathy and, you know, like that all kinds of mind powers, but he can go underwater because he can't be burned there, which is like his one like true weakness is like fire. So they send him down there, and he ends up running into Gorilla Grodd, which is no bueno because Grodd was expecting this. And while also having mind powers, he sets up like a fake city, like the Martian city, like just on fire, just to torture him underwater. And it gets him good, dude. He fully buys in.
See monkeys, try sea gorillas.
Oh, good one.
Just thought of it.
Damn. But you know, while sea gorillas are tossing up Martian Manhunter, we also see like the Toy Man is starting to supply people with like prosthetic limbs. We see more of that like villain philanthropy type deal. And you know, while all of this is going on, it kind of jumps between a few different panels of, you know, Martian Manhunter still really in this trap. Like he's in agony, bro. They really stress that he's not having a good time. And then Brainiac is still in the midst of getting prepared to do surgery on Aquaman. And then we even see Cheetah walking through to get ready to toss up Wonder Woman as another subplot that opens up in this issue. So there's a lot going on in this one. This is all still basically set up. But basically, the world's starting to come around and hear that supervillains are starting to cure all of the world's issues, like hunger, pain, you know, anything really. And they're doing what the superheroes can't or have not done. But that starts to become where that becomes a more prevalent issue. And, you know, a few more subplots kind of pick up. As I mentioned before, Luther's picking up Riddler at prison. He's like, nah, we got to go again. And the Joker's like, bro, I want to come. And they're like, no, you can't come. And he's like, well, I'm only staying here because it's funny, and it's not funny anymore. And it's just like, okay, why don't you just leave any other time, bro? But, you know, while this is happening, so not only is Aquaman missing and all of this other stuff's going on in the background, but now Red Tornado's like, Martian Manhunter just went missing. He's like, what the hell? And Red Tornado's the only one that has like a clue of what's going on, because he's able to pick up on Aquaman having made crosshairs using sea life, like migration, to pinpoint his location, which I think was like off the coast of like Argentina or something. And Red Tornado was like, well, I think I found him, guys. But then he gets his head ripped off, and the whole Justice League satellite gets like thrashed. So no one ever gets to find out where Aquaman is or Martian Manhunter has gone missing. And, you know, things are kind of just hitting the fan. And it turns out that Grodd has all the secret data that they need. And he gives it to the villains to attack the heroes at home. So, you know, everything that was taken from Batman's computer between the Riddler and Grodd and, you know, all the mind wiping powers and stuff like that, they've been able to surmise everyone's basically secret identity, where they stay, their loved ones and everything like that. And the villains have, an offensive that they've never had before with all of this like new data. And while this is going on, Lex, in a typical Lex fashion, goes on a smear campaign asking why superheroes never helped out the way he has been, or him and his supervillain like posse. And he's like, sure, they save us here and there. They might fight a starfish in, you know, the sea or whatever, like a space starfish. But you know what? Right after they finish up with that, we go right back to what we're doing. They don't cure anybody. They don't help anyone in need. They just beat up stuff and then they send us back to our lives. And honestly, pretty convincing. Lex is a good salesman, but
I know he's just like, when's the last time they paid your bills?
Bro, not like, once.
Okay, I'm in.
If anything, they raise taxes. But at the end of this issue, something banger happens, and as a result of that offensive that they're going on, Bizarro comes crashing through Superman's apartment to cap off the issue.
Word. And that takes us to issue 4. Lex is just constantly preaching through his holograms and relaying that he's like created a better place for people to live, where everything's supposedly fixed. The heroes are all under attack and can't save humanity from these like pseudo utopias that they're trying to get everybody to live in. Sinestro sends Hal Jordan down a boom tube. Oliver Queen's attacked by like a rotting version of Black Canary. The holograms mention that the first invited to these cities are those who've been cured, and then the second wave is for dreamers, for people that can't make things possible on their own, but with their help can make anything happen. And things just continue to get worse. Like, Hawkman and Hawkgirl are ambushed. The Atom's been shot, maybe killed at this point. We don't know just yet. Wonder Woman's getting into it with Cheetah, and Superman is absolutely getting destroyed by Bizarro. But at this point, like, Solomon Grundy, Parasite, they're all just curb stomping Superman. And Flash tries to help, but he gets ambushed like the rest. And Metallo comes in at the very end of this issue to put the cherry on top with that Superman fight. So the issue ends with Hologram Lex putting the public basically in a metaphorical chokehold, and Superman literally cries for help.
Yeah, I like that Lex is like, wow, they can't even show their faces. Maybe they'll just lay down and die. You know, just being a pompous ass, knowing full well that he's just sneak attacking everybody. And yeah, isn't that crazy to see Superman scream for help? Like, I don't think I've ever really seen that before.
I haven't seen that either. Closest thing I saw was in the Snyder movie when he like snaps Zod's neck. And stuff like that's kind of out of character for Superman to me. I felt with this made a little more sense than the other thing I just referenced, but still.
I mean, he got sneak attacked by like 3.5 of his worst villains. I mean, Grundy isn't really a Superman villain, that's why I say a half, but like 4 beefy super villains that he's used to fighting one-on-one just jump him out of nowhere. But don't worry about it, because in issue 5, the real deal shows up, dude. Captain Marvel answers the call and he whoops a ton of ass, and he looks right into Superman's face and he says, it's gonna be okay, which is like borderline condescending, but like badass at the same time, because it's like, dude.
But also facts. He had no problem with Superman's villains.
Well, no, he doesn't have any of the weaknesses that Superman has. I mean, Metallo, dude, he could crush Metallo in like a split second. What's Grundy gonna do? But yeah, facts though. He came and jumped them like 1v4. It was pretty sick. What a badass entrance too, because he's just like a blur and then he's just standing there hitting the pose, dude. He's like, it's all good, dude. That made me so hyped, dude. That's a big reason why I love this story.
How hyped?
I mean, facts, dude. He was badass throughout this whole damn thing. Him and Superman, they rule. But aside from Captain Marvel showing up, which obviously gets me a little hype, at the same time, Martian Manhunter's kind of snapping out of it and starting to realize he's in like a, you know, a mental pretzel right now. And, you know, Luthor's talking to Brainiac about Aquaman. He's like, he's still here. Brainiac's like, shut up. You know, he's asking if he has the cities, which to this point, we don't know exactly what's going on in like their little plot. But that's when we find out that typical Brainiac fashion, he can shrink down cities and he has them on hand that they're going to be using for the next part of their plan. But, you know, Wonder Woman's face gets like tossed up permanently. She gets like laced with like the centaur's blood that killed Hercules. So she's like poisoned now. Black Canary does save Oliver from Clayface, which he was totally going to bone, by the way, which is hilarious.
I didn't mention that, did I?
No, dude, he couldn't tell the difference. He's like, I thought you just had the wig on.
He did say that. He said he couldn't tell.
Dude, he was balls deep in Clayface and he didn't even know the difference. He's like, this feels different but not really. This is cool. But while he's like coming to terms with that, we see Hal. He's stuck. He's like, how long is it gonna be till I die, Ring? And the Ring's like, I don't know, Brian. He's like, I could put you in me though. And he's like, whoa, you mean it? And then Hal wants to go hang out in the Ring for an undetermined amount of time. But my boy Captain Marvel, he gets to meet Batman in the Batcave because he took Superman there, and Batman is not at all hype about that, and he's just like, why the hell did you show him the entrance? And then Captain Marvel, he's like, no dude, it's cool. And then he says Shazam, turns back into like a 10-year-old, and Batman's like, what the hell, this is worse. And he's like, now we got him there. And Superman's just sitting there and he's all sad and defeated, and he's like, how come no one answered my FaceTime? And turns out no one's been answering anybody's FaceTime, so everyone's getting knocked out. And Superman's like all sad, but then he realized
texts.
Yeah, he's got green text. Everyone's on DND. They're like, shut up, Superman, you nerd, you're not invited. So he got butthurt about that. But then he starts to realize Batman's looking a little weird. He's like, oh, you know, I see. And then we see with his microscopic vision, Batman's got like mechanical worms up in him and he's being mind controlled. So that would explain what happened to Red Tornado and all of the data that the villains have. And this is just a side note, but I love when Superman's talking to Captain Marvel. He just calls him Bill. He's I thought that was such a cool, like, it's just a dumb little character thing, but I just like the respect that Superman gives Billy for being like a 10-year-old superhero. He's just like, come on, Bill, we gotta go. Making him sound all grown and shit. But he's like, Bill, you gotta throw me into the sun because I have mechanical worms in me as well. And Billy's like, I don't really want to be the guy who kills Superman. He's like, don't put that on me. But then Superman's like, no, bro, you just gotta do it. So he does it, dude, and he fucking chucks him. And Superman's already like tossed up from getting drained by Parasite, but he emerges victorious out of the sun. And, you know, he's free of the weird worms and all that, and everything's cool.
Champion of the sun.
Dude, more or less
dewormed.
He's on that heart guard. But Lex and Brainiac and everybody's kind of just hanging out at this point, and things are going to plan for the most part. But then they're just like, well, we weren't expecting on Captain Marvel to show up, which how the hell do you have all these contingencies but don't expect like Superman 2 to show up when the whole world's going to shit? But you're like, oh yeah, surely he'll just stay home, idiot. But Lex and company are still trying to keep the plan moving. They're like, I don't care if, like, you know, Superman's good. They're like, that's obviously not ideal, but like, we're gonna keep going. Wonder Woman comes in, she saves Batman with the lasso because the lasso apparently negates the mechanical worms. And then, you know, we see the Hawks fighting Toyman. Thought that was cool. They stumbled upon like a Brainiac bodybuilding, well, not bodybuilding, like it's a fucking gym. Like a warehouse for Brainiac duplicates. You know, they're up in there causing a ruckus. The Watchtower friggin' explodes, but the Metal Men save Red Tornado, which I did like as well. They were like in every depth of the DC universe. Didn't matter how like C-list or worse that they were, that like everyone was involved. And like, I love that it was very Silver Age-y as well. But Red Tornado ends up spilling the beans. He's like, I know where Aquaman is. And everyone's like, thank God. And Zatanna and Martian Manhunter end up finding Aquaman at the end of this issue. But they're like, what the hell happened to his brain? And that's the cliffhanger for issue 6, which is crazy that it's only halfway through and this much stuff has happened.
Word. In issue 7, it starts off pretty high tempo because while the Flash is running around, Martian Manhunter and Zatanna locate Aquaman's whereabouts, but it's pretty hard to stomach what they would have found, given Brainiac was playing Operation. Wonder Woman takes Batman to the Fortress of Solitude, but I have to stop here for a moment because in this panel, we see the key that opens up the door to the Fortress of Solitude. And I don't know if I brought this up on the podcast in the past or not, but there was totally a trivia question with my fiance's family about how Superman opens up his fortress. And I totally got the answer wrong and I still can't live it down. So
idiot.
Seeing is remembering. And that hurt. But back to the
first
story.
Appearance, Action 241, by the way.
Shout out.
Issue before Brainiac.
Pretty cool.
Anywho.
But the story transitions to Superman and Shazam again, and they're trying to save Barry because he can't stop running. The two put their heads together and are pretty creative about using their powers to knock him off track to stop him from running, which is long enough to save him and prevent him from starting back up again. But Superman also has a funny moment post saving the Flash where he asks Shazam for money so that they can take Barry Allen to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Not only is the world ending, but that place would totally go out of business if they let him eat at an all-you-can-eat buffet. Which,
well, they got worms and he's got a high metabolism, so right. Boys is hungry.
Do the math. But back to Batman and Wonder Woman. Most of the Justice League has now caught up to them, and Superman lets them inside the fortress. Simultaneously, Zatanna and Martian Manhunter are still with Aquaman and bringing the Doom Patrol for help. So kind of another Silver Age-y reach. I really like how they incorporated the Doom Patrol and the Metal Men, but we find out through the Doom Patrol that Aquaman is like a lizard in the
sense.
He's
amphibian, dude.
Yeah, regenerate.
He ain't a reptile.
He's submerged in water. Which is insane, but I guess Brainiac was trying to understand the anatomy of his brain so he can better understand how to communicate with animals so he can manipulate Gorilla Grodd, which is cool. But anyway, as his head is fixing itself, back in Atlantis, his old sidekick Garth pulls a real stinky on his wife Mara and beats her up when she's caught off guard. Garth is clearly under control, but nonetheless steals their baby and brings it to Black Manta, which never ends well, but especially not in a scenario where Black Manta is about to bring the baby to Brainiac.
Typical Garth behavior, but I don't trust him. But moving past that, Superman's flying into space. He kind of realizes, yo, this is definitely a Brainiac thing. And, you know, everyone's like, of course. Batman's interrogating Captain Cold. And he's like, bro, how sentimental are you? And Captain Cold's like, what kind of question is that? He's like, well, how many fingers do you like your fingers? And like Captain Cold's like, what the hell? And then it turns out Batman is not bluffing because he's got the lasso around him. So he's like, no, for real, I'm going to like freeze your fingers off and destroy them, which is sick because Batman ain't going to kill someone, but he will cripple and maim them, which I do respect. But Batman says at this point, it kind of explains the greater issue at hand. It says the enemies are either teaming up to stop the apocalypse or they're just trying to prepare a remnant of humanity to survive it, which is pretty dire. And it turns out that the worms that are taking control of people are also what's healing everyone. So obviously everybody is being turned into some type of worm robot people, even if they're getting healed. And they'll be governed in new cities, which are those ones that I mentioned prior that Brainiac had. But Phantom Stranger ends up finding Hal in like a freaking void somewhere. Thank God for him. So he's able to bring Hal back. Wonder Woman's dying from her poison/curse that I mentioned. You know, Elongated Man's being a douche with Plastic Man, which I thought was hilarious. And Plastic Man just roasts him and says, why don't you turn into something useful for once before leaving, which was such a flex. But, you know, Hal's back. He's pissed off. Everyone gets really angry. Aquaman, Hal, which I don't blame them. And Aquaman's like, I'm glad all y'all are doing fine, but they snatched my son. So he's like trying to obviously do that before anything else. And basically everybody else's loved ones got snatched as well. So they decide to form a strike team and go after the source of the worms, which I believe are in Africa, which takes us into issue 9.
Issue 9, Gorilla Grodd is about to square up against Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Red Tornado, Zatanna, and a dying Wonder Woman, and find out that the whole time Captain Cold was being interrogated, that he was also being used as a spy. Things get a little worse here because Shazam gets isolated by Black Adam and is duped into becoming mind controlled by Brainiac. But a lot of that's short lived because Superman's able to save him and Same goes for Green Lantern taking down Grodd. Sinestro actually ends up saving Grodd and fleeing, but Metamorpho is actually able to steal a yellow ring from them without them noticing, which kind of comes full circle towards the end of the story. But shortly after, Shazam and Green Lantern pay a visit to Savannah, and they find him in a really weakened state. Apparently, he's one that created these worms, but because Brainiac is more manipulative, he stole the idea, mass-produced it, shrunk them, then targeted heroes and villains alike with these worms. So we also find out that not only can they affect the mind, but they can affect dreams, manipulate emotions, and make people believe things that they've never believed before. So that explains a lot more of, you know, what's going on with Brainiac's overarching plan. And obviously, Lex Luthor would never agree to creating like a remnant of humanity. So this is more so Brainiac's doing. But this also brings us to the conclusion that it's intentional and that Lex and Brainiac are trying to split up humanity. So to conclude, the Metal Men have become armor for the Justice League and everybody's ready for war.
I gotta say, real quick, I do like the fact that Billy says we should heal Dr. Savannah, which is his greatest enemy, and he's even got like a little tear in his eye. He's like, bro, I don't like seeing him like this, which just shows Billy's a real ass dude. But yeah, it's issue 10. So they take the fight to the, you know, the villains, obviously. They got their Metal Men armor and whatnot. Brainiac's turning Aqua Baby into a robot. You know, the villains are kind of celebrating too early. Grodd's not too pumped about that. They try to control him. And as soon as like Martian Manhunter, you know, hits a little telepathy thing and Grodd's brain, the League busts in. Green Arrow and gang are in the sewers. They're on their own secret mission to get to save people while everyone else is distracted. But possessed superheroes such as the Teen Titans and some others come and try and join the fight too, which the Doom Patrol has to handle. Aquaman brutally stabs the Parasite. All kinds of people are fighting in all those subplots. Even the Elongated Man makes himself useful by stopping Clayface. Green Arrow looks like he shoots John Stewart and everyone's like, what the hell, dude? But actually he gave him Hal's ring. Or he gave him a ring to become a Green Lantern, which I thought was sick. The Doom Patrol are defeated. Joker's bombing the city, just having a good time. The Captain doubles as Superman. He's whooping on Parasite and Bizarro again. And I do like that Captain Marvel crushes the Kryptonite in his bare hands. And he's like, don't worry, we'll find something else for Metallo to live off of. Thought that was badass. He also holds up Black Adam and tells him to say the word and yield, even though he hasn't been in that form in so long. But he makes him do it anyways. Sick. And I also didn't know that Green Lantern's ring could like wipe minds and do all this other shit, like put out fires and kill nanobots, but they can. And it turns out the dream is real though. Brainiac is gonna nuke everything. They find that out and they're like, Luthor, you gotta help us, please. And they go after Brainiac and they're just kind of fighting this whole time up until the end there. And John Stewart's basically able to purge everyone from the worms.
That's a cool caption. But true, a lot of that issue was action. And then John Stewart kind of coming to the forefront. But in issue 11, the war continues and the United Heroes are finally getting the upper hand for the first time. Again, there are a lot of different fights going on. To Berger's point, there are so many subplots that it did jump around a lot. But the heroes are defeating their evil counterparts while also deworming everybody. The two main fights in this issue are kind of between Hal Jordan and Sinestro, as well as Aquaman trying to find and fight Black Manta because they believe he was the last one that had his kid.
So a lot of action right towards the end. You know, they're kind of chasing after Brainiac. Superman's trying to hunt down the Toy Man, who at this point, he's part robot. Luthor keeps trying to justify his stance and being generally unhelpful.
Which is sad, by the way. Like, the same way we saw Savannah, we saw Toy Man at the very end. So a lot of these people just got completely washed up by Brainiac's overarching plan. But
he looked like how I do on the weekend when I'm not trying to do anything. He looked all, like, fat and sweaty. Just sitting in a room with a monitor. That's me.
Me on the toilet. But an iPhone charger connected to me.
Facts. And while they're Toy Man's being a slob, yeah, Luther's just kind of standing still. He's like, nah, bro, I'm not helping you guys. I'm not the problem here. And Grodd's like, whatever, dude, I gotta make an alliance. I still have stuff that I enjoy, because Grodd apparently is the most sensible out of anyone. So he makes an alliance with the heroes. They gotta get everybody out of the Brainiac cities, which they're able to do. Wonder Woman's burnt hot dog looking ass headbutts the shit out of Cheetah, knocks her out. That was pretty sick. Superman and Zatanna and Red Tornado and all of them are just chasing down Brainiac as he jumps bodies, but Zatanna is able to magically, you know, just take them directly to where Brainiac is, which does rule. They need to use her more like this more often. But Manhunter, Grodd, and Luther have to work together to redirect all the nuclear missiles. They shoot those into space, which the Green Lantern Corps eventually comes and answers the call to destroy. Aquaman does come to terms with Black Manta. He tells him, you're being no better than the people that, you know, wronged you. And Black Manta gets pissed off. He's like, no. And he tries to kill Aquaman, but Aquaman like whoops his ass. And he's like, bro, you never stood a chance, which also sick.
Aquaman ironically Luther teleports. Tells him slavery's wrong, which is hilarious, as well as like there's a few funny bits at the very end. Like Joker dresses up in the sewer as Dracula and jumps on Scarecrow out of nowhere and sucks the blood out of him. Luther has like a slightly racist bit towards the end where he tells Brainiac that he doesn't trust aliens, so he always had a contingency plan and doubles down by telling him to get the hell off his planet. So the last issue was,
I know, Luther's just like, yeah, dude, I'm gonna save the day. Everyone's gonna remember that I stopped this. It's like, bro, you caused this. He's like, well, I'm gonna trap Brainiac's body in just one ship. And, you know, Superman shows up and flings Luther anyways. He's like, no one can humble that guy. That's why he pisses me off, which is also hilarious. But ultimately, Superman's able to find Brainiac's shrunken ship, freeze it, and basically save the day. And, you know, Superman saves Zatanna because she's out in space. She can't breathe. Wonder Woman's dead, but then she gets restored on Themyscira/Paradise Island. And the world is somewhat better place after this. There's no more nukes. Things are changing, and they kind of view this as a point where, you know, the future's going to change for super heroics. So that's our story, unless you have anything you'd like to add.
Just wanted to say, probably give it an 8.5 out of 10. 8 for the story, I'm but right 8.5 because of the art. If it wasn't for the week of my bachelor party, I really wish I would have spent more time reading this book, considering how long it was and how much small things I could have missed, considering all these like subplots and everything. But love Joker's role in all of this. The broken toy thing was kind of meh to me, but overall just another great read. Unfortunately, I still think Marvel's is a better read, and I think even Kingdom Come was a little better than this. But just to see all these characters and like a cohesive story that was entertaining was pretty cool to me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I gave it about an 8.5 myself. I'm not sure where it slots in. I would say that the other two, Kingdom Come and Marvel's, are probably technically better from a writing, and the art is equal. So I'd say from a writing standpoint, the other two are probably superior. But in terms of what I enjoy, this was a long book, so it's a long read. You'll have to take your time, but great art. And I mean, if you're like a Silver Age DC fanatic, like how we are, then this will definitely speak to you. It's like my favorite interpretations of the characters, and they're being drawn beautifully. Like, you can't beat the art personally. I didn't think I was going to cape for Alex Ross as hard as I do, but for him to do this whole ass book, that's pretty impressive. But yeah, 8.5. I definitely recommend it for any DC fan and someone who just likes good reading and awesome art. But that being said, let's wrap it up here. Next time, we'll have a topic for you. We'll let you know what that is when we do. You'll have to stay patient. But, you know, if you're new here, thanks for listening. You can find us at CBJ Pod on Instagram, CBJ Podcast on Facebook, Comic Book Junkies. Search us, Comic Book Junkies Podcast. We're on YouTube. We're on all podcast platforms. You can leave us a 5-star review if you'd like. Rate, review, just tell a friend. Doesn't matter. We're not going to hold you to it, but we will appreciate it if you do it. And yeah, with that being said, we appreciate you all for listening, and we will catch you around next time with another fun topic.
All right, guys. Can't wait.
Later.